Please pray with me. Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, for the gifts and blessings that surround us. Lord, as life races by, help us to be patient as we wait for you. Lord, bless this time as we look at your word. And Lord, open our hearts as you reveal the scripture to all the disciples. Father, reveal them to us and make them anew. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning. I just want to let you know before I get too far into the sermon, I'm going to warn you that the sermon is 45 minutes. I don't know why you're laughing. No, okay, now by... Exactly. Determining in your mind how you process that statement might help you determine how much you need to hear this sermon on patience. And by the way, the sermon is not really going to be 45 minutes. And those of you who are perspiring out there wondering if I was serious, I think a handful of you are already out of your seats. Some of you are forming exit strategies. All right, honey, go get the car. I'll pinch one of the kids, get them crying, and we'll make a run for it and act like it's out of, you know, the benefit of everyone around us. Yeah, I get it. Sometimes I do ramble on. And in fact, that's why I always pray for Kelly, that she'll have wisdom to understand me, love to forgive me, patience to deal with me. But one thing I never pray for is strength, because then I think she might beat me to death. You know, Advent is a season of preparation for the event of the Christ child, but it's also a season for us to practice patience. Children count down the days till they can open up their gifts on Christmas morning. Parents count the days of how long it will take to replenish their savings accounts. And in reality, Christmas is more than just a time of waiting. It's also a time that we long for Jesus. We do wait for Jesus to come again. You know, most of us have experienced enough pain and suffering that we really do long for the day that Jesus will return and make all things new. But sometimes it's difficult for us to be patient. You know, the saying goes, patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Found seldom in a woman, but never in a man. You know, this morning we read from the epistle of James, and we know that this is the brother of Jesus, and he deals with a lot of big topics in his letter, from trials to listening and obeying, faith and works, submission. And here in chapter 5, he concludes everything with patience, perseverance, and prayer. Just in 4 verses alone, James uses the word patience 4 different times. So my hope this morning is that when we look at this text, that we will all walk away with a little bit more patience in our personal lives, patience in our public lives, and also patience in God's providence. And what is God's providence? It's his will, how he intervenes in his predestination and predetermination for us. And this is where James begins, this patience and providence. He's urging his listeners to be patient for the return of Jesus. In verse 7, he says, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming." And why does James begin with the end? Why does he position the Lord's coming as the pivotal point to be patient in? It's because this holds the meaning of life. James begins with the end because we were created for God. In Colossians 1, it says, "For by him all things were created, things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him." He begins with the end because the day of the Lord means the restoration of all things back to how they were supposed to be. We find that in Revelation. He says, "I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain, for the former things have passed away. And he who is seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. He begins with the end because we get to go home. John 14 says, Let your hearts not be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you. But I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and will take you myself, that where I am, you may also be. James begins with the end because it's this hope that allows us to be patient. You know, hope with being with our Maker, hope in the restoration of all things, and hope that our true home awaits us. And so for the remainder of our time, I want to focus on three things that patience is. The second half of verse 7, it says, See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains. When I hear the word patience, I think of waiting. And I don't like to wait. None of us really, truly like to wait. And when I hear the word patience, I think of how I don't like to wait in El Paso construction traffic. I don't have good patience. James kind of compares this idea to a farmer waiting for a valuable crop to be ready before it's harvested. But farmers don't just wait, do they? They work the soil. They repeatedly protect the plants and the crops from the insects and the disease. And they feed and they fertilize until it is time while they wait. You know, this is our first lesson in patience, that patience isn't just waiting, that patience is progressive. Just like the farmer, we're supposed to be active in our faith as we wait, as we are patient for him to come again. You see, the Lord gave us freedom on the cross, a past event. The Lord will come again, future event. But right now in the present, he has called us to a purpose that puts faith into action. And today in the 10:45 service, we're going to celebrate the baptism of Layla Carpenter. And we're going to welcome her into the family of God. And I'm sure that Shane and Jeanette long that someday she's going to be a fine young woman, an upstanding citizen, and a sold-out follower of Jesus Christ. But you know, Shane's not going to just, after the baptism, go, all right, well, we drizzled her and dedicated her to God. Let's just wait. You know, hope she turns out okay. Of course they're not going to say that, are they? They're going to know that in patience, that they are responsible for nurturing Layla, teaching her and modeling Christ-like behavior, and guiding her along her journey through life. And, you know, the same goes for us in our faith, that, you know, we don't just say, well, you know, Jesus did his part, and I believe, so I'll be patient, I hope everything works out okay. No, Ephesians 2:10 says, For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared for us that we should walk in those works. You know, patience is active, it's progressive. We don't just get to heaven and Jesus says, Well done, good and faithful servant. So what is he calling you to? If we are prepared beforehand in Christ Jesus for good works, are we seeking those out and are we fulfilling those? And beginning in January, we'll have an opportunity to serve and meet the needs of the current crisis of Central American refugees. And if you don't know the story, we're going to have a meeting next Sunday between services to talk about this problem and what's going on and how we can make a difference and how we can help. And we're going to need lots of help. We're going to need diapers of all sizes, children's underwear, adult underwear, toiletries, care packages, especially volunteers. This is one way that maybe God is calling us to make sure in patience that we are progressive. But this week, I want us all to challenge ourselves and to find one thing in which we can put our faith into action, where while we're being patient, we are progressive. You know, this can be as simple as buying the coffee for the person behind you in the ridiculously long Starbucks line. And that's a pretty big gift nowadays. Those Starbucks coffees are like $10. Or, you know, maybe you could call Sammy or Jen Kaufman and, you know, ask them, how can I volunteer and help at Ciudad Nueva? Maybe think of someone before yourself and say, I should really write a note of encouragement to this employee or contact that family member and just tell them how much they mean to me. Challenge ourselves this week to have progressive patience. James 5:9 then goes on and he says, don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged, for the judge is standing at the door. You know, what happens when we lose patience in traffic? Road rage. We've all had it. And you know, you can actually determine how angry someone is by the number of seconds they hold down the horn at you. Or when they tell you you're number one. We know when someone's angry at us, when they have this road rage. And we use the word grumble here, which is literally what happens when we have the loss of patience. I would argue 90% of the time where we lose our patience is because we have a negative attitude, or when life has happened to us, we let it get under our skin. This leads us to the second point of patience, that patience is positive. Back in the first chapter, James writes, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you meet various trials. That seems like an oxymoron, doesn't it? Count it joy when life kicks you in the buns. Well, the crazy thing is, it makes sense. If you've ever worked out, Greg, you would know this, to build muscle mass, your muscles actually have to tear and then rebuild to get bigger, to get stronger. The same thing is what James is getting at here, this attitude. We read in Romans, it says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I read that and I think sometimes God allows us to be broken down and torn. But it's promising that our faith can actually be made stronger by these trials and being broken. The question is, do we have the patience to trust in God's goodness in these rocky times, that he can and will bring us through them? Leonardo da Vinci once said, patience serves as a protection against wrongs as clothes do against cold. For if you put on more clothes as the cold increases, it will have no power to hurt you. So in the like manner, you must grow in patience when you meet with great wrongs, and they will then be powerless to vex your mind. And whatever you might be going through, whether there's problems with your spouse, or whether your kids are wearing you out waiting for Christmas, whether money is tight and you're just wondering how are we going to make it, whatever your trial is, remember patience is positive. Now, I don't want you to think I'm preaching this health and wealth gospel here, that I'm promising that God will bind and heal a broken marriage. I'm not guaranteeing that your kids will become angels. And I'm not saying that you're going to wake up and there's going to be stacks and piles of money just sitting at your doorstep. We can only have positive patience if we set our eyes on the cross. It's there on Calvary where all the powers against us were stripped away. And I think about the cross when I read John 16. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And with this in sight, we can find positive patience even during trials because we have confidence in our Savior. Not one trial on this earth, not any mistake we can make, can take it all away from us. Romans 8:38 says, death, life, angels, demons, present or future powers, neither height nor depth or anything in creation can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Patience is progressive. patience is positive. And lastly, patience perseveres. In verse 10, James says, "Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered." You know, the purposes of God for us, sometimes they slowly develop. Because in God's grand design, He's never in a hurry. The great New England preacher, Philip Brooks, was known for his composure and his demeanor. And he was had a quiet manner, but at times he even lost his temper and had those moments of frustration and irritability. And one day a friend saw him fervently pacing the floor and asked him, "Mr. Brooks, what's troubling you?" "The trouble is that I'm in a hurry and God isn't." Yeah, but we can all relate to that, can't we? I mean, think about how impatient we are and how we're always in a hurry as children. Children can't long to be teenagers. Teenagers can't long to be 16 and have their license and freedom. 16-year-olds long to be in college, away from home, living on their own. And then in our 20s, we begin to think about if we want to find a spouse and start having a family. Our 30s and 40s, we remember how good the college days were and wish we were children again and that we didn't have the worries of life. And then, it's just on and on. But the reality is maybe we don't desire all those things, but if we're honest with ourselves, a lot of times we're in a hurry and we long for something more. We don't have that patience. We don't have the patience that perseveres. And sometimes I think that God is trying to tell us that faith is not a fast food drive-through. You know, the great work that He has planned for us is a process, and it takes patience and perseverance. Paul promises his readers in Philippians, the listeners, that he says, "God who began a good work in you will carry it on to the day of completion in Christ Jesus." Back in James chapter 1, I read you, "Count it all joy when you meet various trials." But there's a second half to that verse. It says, "Because you know that the testing of your faith will bring you perseverance." It develops the perseverance. The perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, and lacking nothing. You know, God uses life to mold us, to grow us, to strengthen us. And how joyous is it to know that He is working all things together for His good. He tells us this so that in our faith we can be mature, complete, and lacking nothing. All because a babe in a manger who redeemed the world. Patience is progressive, it's positive. Patience perseveres. This morning I want to close with a challenge. I call it 5 days with James. 5 days this week, just read one chapter a day. And as you're reading through, think about and pray about these three aspects of patience. And when you work through this text, my prayer is that He will enlighten all of us and just spark a new fire as we prepare and we're patient for Christmas to come. Perhaps, maybe we'll even walk away with a little bit more patience in our private lives and our public lives, especially in this crazy time of Christmas season. But most importantly, that we will find patience in His providence. That we have a God who says He will work all things together for good. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.